Hello and welcome back to the Azeem Digital Asks All Round Digital Marketing Podcast. Very, very, very excited to bring you my guest today, Crystal Carter, who I will let her introduce herself properly in a moment. We're talking about all about how SEO is a team sport. Generally, I always give a bit of a blurb about the guest. Crystal is basically everywhere at the moment, so I am very, very pleased that she has agreed to give me and you, when you hear this, up to 20 minutes of her time. She's absolutely everywhere, a woman in demand, so thank you very much. Crystal, welcome to the show. Please give yourself a better introduction for
the listeners. I'm really honored to be here. I'm a real fan of the show. I think you do great interviews and make great content. Thank you very much for having me along. I am Crystal Carter. I am the head of SEO communications at Wix. I'm working alongside the incomparable Morty Oberstein and trying to bring you like more goodness for all of the SEOs of the world. Basically, I am really interested in talking to people about how to use SEO strategically and to use SEO from lots of different angles. And one of the reasons why I was really excited to join Wix, because I joined them recently, is because they have a really holistic approach to digital marketing and to SEO and how it touches on lots of different areas. So I think that's kind of one of the things that's the theme of what we're talking about today. And I'm really happy to get stuck into it.
Awesome. So let's just dive right in. The episode is all about how SEO is a team sport. So right from the off, what makes SEO a team sport?
Yeah, so what I mean by that is I think there's historically been a sense that an SEO, and I've definitely done SEO in this way, where an SEO can sort of just get their head down and do the SEO. One person does the SEO for the website, and at some point the SEO is done. That you know, you can do your meta descriptions and do your alt text and do your internal links and that sort of thing. But I think that the way that algorithms are working at the moment, and I think that the way that users are using websites and accessing content is changing so much that it requires many, many hands to make light work. And I think that certainly if you look at something like the Core Web Vitals update, that page experience update, you can see that is not a one person job. That's not something that involves one team in particular. That involves the SEO, that involves your dev team, that can involve server teams, that can involve legal sometimes if you have to move around what your cookie notice says and things like that. So that's something that comes to mind. Another one that comes to mind is around things with like Google Shopping, Google Merchant, the local inventory ads, for instance. That involves local feeds, that involves what's in store, that involves the website, that involves Google Merchant, that involves coordinating with the ads team to make sure that that's all up to scratch. And so I think that in order for SEOs to provide value, we're starting to see SEOs needing to do more sort of team management, not just focusing on sort of, say, delivering SEO tasks. And I think that really involves, SEOs taking a leadership approach, which I think a lot of great SEOs really do that. But I think that sometimes you can go into a project or go into an SEO a client situation where you might not expect to do that. But as I've been working recently, and certainly it's different from when I first started, it seems to be that in almost every case, you're managing a team of stakeholders. You're managing, the developer team. You're managing the social team because you might have to do some, particularly with tech SEO. Sometimes you have to say, "Hey there, social team, our server can't actually cope with the traffic that you're getting from the social ads. We need to readjust our social our servers so that we can actually serve these ads. So can you just hold on while we sort that out?" And things like that. So I think that you know, there's someone, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's running an SEO MBA at the moment. That's really mostly, it's talking about not necessarily soft skills, I guess, but around that sort of management team coordination skill. And I can see you want to come in and zoom.
No, absolutely not. Please carry on. This is solid gold. We're 5 minutes in and already I'm thinking it's clear to see why you're so well respected in the industry. And oh my God, you're full of knowledge. So I'm going to shut up and just let you carry on.
So yeah, I think that certainly what I've seen from making SEO more of a team sport, I think there's always a few different elements, which include bringing in people who are competent, but not necessarily SEO capable. So there's lots of people who, you know their business, you know they've started a business, they've got things going on. They might not know what a conversion, they might not know the term for a conversion, but they know when they've made a sale. You know, they might not know the term for, you know, what we call like a soft conversion or whatever, but they know, like, somebody watched a video and they can tell that, you know, whether or not there was value in an ad or something to that effect. And so it's very important that we're able to, as SEOs, communicate the value of that. And it's very important that we're able to educate people along that way. So very often, in order to make SEO a team sport, you know, you've got to have, if you think about a team, your bench is deep. You need to make sure that you've got everybody there. You've got your star players who are out of the front. Now I'm getting really into the sports metaphors, but you know, you set up a 4-4-2, it's a game of two halves. Hope nobody breaks the metatarsal. I don't know. I'm running out. But basically, you want to make sure that you've got, you know, the conversions, the star players. And if you think about, like, I'm going to get into a metaphor now. I'm going to try not to go too far in the weeds. But if you think about something like PPC, that's very much like somebody who's like hitting goals, right? Their main aim is to get the goals in. And then you've got the people who are setting all that up. Right. And who, like, the person can't score the goal at the end without those people setting all of that up. And then you've got the coach who's like thinking about all of the, you know, how to arrange everything and how to make everything work and all that sort of stuff. And I guess the server teams is like the groundskeeper to make sure there's no holes or something. I don't know. But I think you just need to make sure that everybody's working all together and that you recognize at what stage you need each player in your team. But, you know, I think that things are getting really, really competitive. I think particularly for the way that the algorithms are and the way that the SERPs are, there's so much going on a single SERP result. You know, you've got your ads at the top, you've got drop downs with a bunch of results there. You've got, you've got your plain blue links somewhere in the mix. You've got videos, you've got blah, 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 all that different stuff. And really you need to make sure that you've got the bases, as many bases covered as possible. And in order to do that, you need to have a good, solid SEO team.
I love that because I've literally got a million more questions, but as I'm thinking of the next question to ask you, 2 seconds later, you answer it. You're literally the perfect guest. I could end the episode right there and literally it would be a hit.
Mic drop.
But no, honestly, there are so many things that I'd just love to pick apart there. But I think the main one really is the whole episode is about SEO being a team sport, but how can SEOs ensure that they're team players? It's very easy from what you've just said there to focus on, let's say the SEO is the star player, for argument's sake. It's very easy to focus on the self. How can SEOs ensure that they're team players?
Right. So I think this is something that I found a challenge. I certainly found this challenge. And this is something that I literally, like, I went to my previous team and I said to them, I was like, I want to take management class. I have no plans to be a manager at the minute, but like, I want to take a management class and I want to learn management tactics. I literally did a day course and it was transformative. There are tried and tested management techniques for, you know, how to assess how your team will work together, to how to assess, you know, things like Myers-Briggs and things like that, which will tell you that you know, you'll get more positive results from one person if you approach them in this way, then you'll get more positive results than if you approach them in the other way. And I think also if you go into the situation of managing SEO as being part of a team, rather than being someone who's assigned to has a task to finish it. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that's what's required. With clients in particular, there are some clients who are happy to just let you go and do whatever. And they're just like, here's the website, like do some stuff. And there are some clients who you know, they want to ask questions and they want to bring you involved and they want to do the thing and they want you to add value and they want you to be proactive with like all of the different ideas and all of that sort of stuff. And that way it's very collaborative. And I think that if you're able to work with people in a collaborative space, then that opens up more opportunities for the types of clients that you can get, the types of clients that you can retain as well. And it's really a skill that's worth investing in. Additionally, a lot of SEOs that I know will have, particularly freelance SEOs, will specialize in a particular segment of SEO. So be it content or technical SEO or e-commerce or what have you. But it's very, very seldom that a client that you have that is a good client who respects your opinion, blah, 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 is only ever going to do that one thing, right? They may very well decide that, okay, we want to get into social soon. Well, your client values your opinion, thinks you're great. That's cool. So they're going to come to you and they're going to say, who can we get to help us with social? It happens all the time. And so if you have good networks and if you're able to work with people collaboratively, then they will recommend you and you can work alongside them and you will recommend them and they will work alongside you. And then, you know, you sort of have this sort of back and forth. So I would say that it's worth investing in some management time. And again, like I said, I did like a day course and it literally I think it makes something that I was finding. Sometimes I can be quite literal and I was finding, I was like, well, I sent him the email and he didn't send it back. it's like, that's not good enough. Like there are things you can do. There are tactics that you can do that people know and, you know, like NLP and like lots of different things. And so, invest in, if it's something that you're struggling with, invest in a management course, which talks to you about how to manage other people and how to manage yourself. And will make it much easier for you to work as a team, and it will open many, many doors.
This is solid gold. I'm trying to think of there's two areas I'd love to explore further. I'm trying to think of the best one to go with first. So I'm going to do it this way. This type of thinking that you're displaying now, where did that come from? What made you think to, you know, start moving in this direction? And you know, and here we are now on a podcast talking about it. But what made you think, right, I'm going to start thinking like this?
Well, I think that really it came down to clients, really. At the end of the day, particularly if you're working in an agency or a freelance space, if your clients are getting good results, they won't stay with you. And if your client sometimes even if your clients are getting good results, or even if you are getting good results, if they don't feel like you're on their team, then they might not stay with you anyway. And what's really important is that like building that relationship can really make the difference. I'll tell you, I've never shared this, so this is an exclusive. I was once doing a site audit for a potential client, and we didn't actually land the client. We did the audit and stuff. We didn't actually land the client. When I did the audit, the website was a mess. Like it was a mess. And the client had their guy, who was their current website person, who had been working with them for years. And he sat through the meeting with us and we were going, well, there's this wrong and that wrong, and this doesn't work and this isn't any good and da, 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 da. And afterwards, we didn't get the account. He's still on the account. he's still on the account. You know why? Because he works with them and he's on their team,
right? And they feel like he's part of their team. So it's sometimes it doesn't even come, you're like, what is this? This doesn't make sense. But I've seen it so many times. And it's because they feel like, I think it's because people feel like they're on the team. And after that, and it's very interesting because I feel like you can take a lesson from everything. After that, I didn't think, I'm not going to do a good job. I didn't think that, but I thought that this is a valuable skill, like being able to be on someone's team and for them to believe that you are on their team and for them to know that if I'm stuck, I can go to this person and they will help me. And if I'm stuck, like this person will do their best to help me. Then, you know, when you come to them, you're like, I've got this great idea to do this thing on the website. I've just learned all about this. And, you know, we need to be moving over to like this and this and that. They'll go, okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that. Let's go with that. I trust you because you're on my team and you help me. And I think also during the pandemic, when the pandemic first hit, because I had invested all that time in nurturing client relationships and making sure that they knew that I was on their team. So I've had it where people are like, we've got a new person, like a new agency that's going to be working on this part of the thing. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We're all on a team. Hi there, other agency person. Like, let's do all the thing. I just did a conversation with Google talking about developers. And like, when I go and I do the same approach when I meet new developer teams. So client comes to you and they've got whatever developer situation they've got. You don't wait until things go wrong to say hello to the developers. Developers are constantly fighting fires all the time. And everybody wants something from the developer and everybody wants it yesterday. And everybody thinks whatever their problem is the most important thing in the world. So, So whenever I get a new developer, and sometimes you get clients who are like, oh, the developer's terrible. Oh, we ask him for things and he never does anything. Nobody ever does. And, da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay. What do? I email the developer and I go, hi, I'm Crystal. Just wondering if I could just set up a call with you just to say hello. I'm going to be helping out with some SEO in the next little while. We set up the call and the developer's like there, like expecting this at the very beginning. And it's no, it's just like, hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. I take this approach, generally speaking. How do you guys work? How do you like your tickets? Do you outsource? How do you all work? Like, la, 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 la. Cool. Thanks. Bye. I want nothing. I'm saying hello. I want nothing. I'm saying hello, you're setting up that relationship, you're setting up, you're building trust, you're building, because we're all part of the team, right? And then they know, the client knows that you're working with them, you're working with these other people, you're all part of the team. So when the pandemic hit, because I'd spent all that time working with all of those things, we had, you know, I had very little client churn, like very, very little. And I know that there were a lot of people, like when it first happened, and I had very, very little. And when it happened, I know that there were lots of businesses who as soon as it happened, everybody just like everything like stopped straight away. Lots of things picked up. We all know it all picked up, but lots of people said it happened straight away. So many of my clients, and like, God love them. So many of them. And I busted my butt for them for that during all of this, but they all stayed. You know why? Because they knew I was on their team and they knew that my team was on their team. And like, we all worked, like we were like, we're here for you. Like, and one of the things, like, shout out to my team at Wix. Wix works like this as well. Like they are there for the team. They want everybody to win. They want everybody to do well on the platform. They work really, really hard to make something that is good. And they spend a lot of time with that. And I think that like, that's one of the things that really attracted me to the team. And that's one of the things that I really, really value about SEO. Because the other thing is when your clients feel like you're on their team, when you win, they win. There's no good. And I remember doing this before, like back in the day, I'd be like, look, I just got us, 10% more traffic. Well, I didn't do nothing. I did what I did. You know, I changed the code, like, la, 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 like all that sort of stuff. But I'm not doing it by myself. And I had it one time where I was like, we improved conversions by 10%. We doubled conversions. It's the highest we've ever had. And they were like, oh, we didn't see that. And I was like, what do you mean you didn't see that? And they were like, oh, Julie was on holiday. oh, this, that, and the other. Oh, we didn't get the thing. And I was like, see, if we were on a team, if we had been all working together, I'd know that you didn't have the infrastructure to handle such a big increase in the first place. And we could have been working. So then we had to work on that part of the funnel, like as a team. And that's, and it's just, yeah, it's, it just makes, it makes a really big difference, and it gets buy-in. And because people feel like we are all helping. So I stopped saying like, I've done this. And I started saying like, this contributed to X, Y, or Z, because of course there's going to be various different things that happen across. Like it could be very, you know, they could have got a sponsorship. Somebody could have like, I had one client who had everything go crazy on their site because somebody was on like a reality TV show, and like the normal traffic was like, oh, blah, blah, and then it was like, whoosh. And then he backed out. So I couldn't be like, I got this one. It was nothing to do with me. Like it's nothing.
But you know, people will claim that. People will 100% claim that.
But clients will notice it. Clients are like, what? Like, what? And you're sat there and you're like, look at my chart. And they're like, dude, like, you're like, cuckoo land.
Honestly, this is gold. I'm sad to say that we are nearly coming to the end of this episode, but I think we could genuinely talk for hours about this sort of stuff. There is, well, before I ask you the penultimate question, I will say for the listeners, if you are only listening to this in audio format, you can get this video on Spotify. And you can also get this on YouTube. I strongly recommend watching because you can hear the passion in Crystal's voice. You need to watch her when she speaks because, honestly, she needs a TV show by herself, literally. but, yeah, look, back to the point of this episode. There's one question, perfect way, I think, to wrap up before you share your contact details. I'm absolutely positive there are either individuals or businesses who will be listening to this and are yet to work in the methods and ways that you've just described. What advice would you give them to start adopting this approach?
I would say that what's really important is to focus on the end goal. So if the end goal is to increase sales from a certain channel, then that's what you should focus on. And you should think about what pieces you need to make that happen. SEO will certainly be part of that. There might be other things that are part of that. There might be things on the ground that are part of that. And you should be working towards the goal. I've definitely seen people who make SEO recommendations for SEO's sake. They'll be like, oh, I've seen this on the report. And you know, I ran this crawl and it says that this is wrong. It's like, yeah, but is that actually going to help us get to our goal? And sometimes it's a case that, you know, you need to do those things because obviously, like, you know, nobody wants a bunch of 404s for no reason or whatever. But like you can put them in a sort of the different priority of like sort of like things ticking along and things that like need to be actioned in order to drive the business goals. But I would say if you focus on the business, focus on the end result for your client, and it makes it a lot easier for them to understand the value behind what you're doing. Like, we're doing this because it's going to help us to increase our seasonal sales, or we're doing this because it's going to help us get more traffic into the bricks and mortar store, for instance. So, and then they can go, oh, we can also do something to help with that. And you go, that's great. Good. Do that. And then you can bring it all together. So if you focus on the end result, and don't get too hung up on terminology. It's great to be smart. It's better to be effective. So like, don't just like say a bunch of words that make you sound really clever for no reason. One of the things I always say is like, if you ever read Albert Einstein wrote The Theory of Relativity, it is written in completely plain English. It's all about trains and ball, like a train on a ball, the people on a train, super plain English. If Albert Einstein can do it, you can do it. So that's what I'm trying.
Honestly, I literally, this episode is not about me. This is your episode, but I literally used to work with a guy who would just like constantly, oh, you know, you've got a blue sky thing, circle back, blue ocean marketing. What the fuck is that? Anyway.
There's funnels and flywheels and like 7 P's and 4 C's and like there's like
all it reminds me of is whenever if you've ever wrote an essay and you're just trying to fill up the word count, it's just verbal diarrhea. But yeah, I've digressed. Listen, this has been a fantastic episode. I am positive the listeners are going to take incredible value from this. And I cannot let you go without asking you to share your contact details, where people can find you on social media, and if they would like to learn more about anything that you've discussed in this episode, how can they do that?
So my main points of contact is Twitter. On Twitter, I am Crystal on the Web. And my secondary contact is LinkedIn, which I go on once a week, although I did change my notifications, so I might be on there a little bit more because, like, the notifications, there's too many. So I've reduced them, so hopefully that'll be better. I am going to be at Brighton SEO at the beginning of April. I think you're going to be there as well. We're going to hang out. It's going to be cool. And I'm going to be like full on paparazzi mode. So I'm going to be taking as many selfies with everybody from my Twitter land as well. So that's all going to go on my Instagram, which is also Crystal on the Web with an underscore at the end, I think. So.
Amazing. Yeah, I can't believe we have yet to mention on the recording that both of us share a birthday. We're incredible people.
We are. Twinsies! Yes!
So, yeah, look, I can't think of any better way to end the episode. This has been absolutely full of gold. I've enjoyed listening to you share your wisdom. I'm absolutely positive the listeners will too. If you have listened and you've enjoyed this episode, please do the usuals, like, rate, share, and subscribe. And if you wouldn't like to do any of that, please take some time out, message Crystal, and say, wow, you are so full of wisdom. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. But that's it from me. We will catch you on the next episode when I can find the stop button, which is here. Peace out. See you soon.
Thank you so much.